The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town.
Like a welcome back to National Intelligence Report here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And again, folks, please help us keep this voice of freedom available. So do what you can in whatever way that you can to help Republic Broadcasting. And you can go to republicbroadcasting.org. You can look at the various things. There's a store. There's all kinds of things that you could do there. But, you know, I mentioned George Wallace, and it always bothered me was that Wallace was, because he said segregation, he was a racist. And yet he was just repeating what the Supreme Court said in Plessy v. Ferguson. But the Supreme Court's not called racist. But George Wallace was called racist. So, but Cal, I know you're younger than me, but do you remember when George Wallace was shot in Maryland?
I do not remember that at all. I don't even know what year it was.
72.
I would have been 10. No, I wasn't paying much attention to politics back then.
I can imagine you probably weren't, but anyway, I remember where I was. It deeply troubled me because I liked George Wallace and didn't have anything to do with blacks in Alabama, and he gets pictured as this guy who stood on the steps and said, no, you can't force this here. He was standing on the Constitution, people, and if you read everything that Wallace wrote, what he didn't want to happen was he did not want the federal government to be able to send troops into a state to force them to do what the federal government wanted, because he knew that if they could do it to put somebody in school, they could do it for anything they wanted to. And he was exactly right. But Wallace was shot in Maryland in May of 72 by a person by the name of Arthur Brimmer. Now, the circumstances around this attempted assassination was because of Wallace's growing popularity on almost all across the country, because people were beginning to listen to him. He was making sense, just like what I read you before. And so at that time, he was campaigning for president in 72, and he was the top vote getter. Well, you know, you can't have that happen. You know, you can't have Wallace get in there with what I just read before. But we know that the possible involvement of several government agencies and President Nixon's plumbers, who would later become famous in the conspiracy that was Watergate, and the circumstances of the mysterious death of J. Edgar Hoover just a few weeks before, which should create a lot of questions in a lot of people's minds. You know, we certainly do not have the time to go into all of the possibilities for a conspiracy to eliminate Wallace from political power. But let's look at his alleged shooter, Arthur Brimmer. And so the income tax returns found in Brimmer's apartment after his arrest shows a previous year's income of $1,611 for a year. Now, remember that he had to pay for rent and food out of that amount. In the months before his assassination attempt, Brimmer paid cash for a car, paid for a plane ticket to New York, where he stayed at the Waldorf Astoria, drove back and forth to Ottawa, Canada, where he stayed at the Lord Elgin, where coincidentally the U.S. Secret Service was staying at the time. He bought three firearms, took a helicopter ride in New York City, paid for a chauffeured limousine ride, and tipped the lady who gave him a massage $30. Now, we should have put him in as some kind of financial guru, because a man that can turn $1,611 into that kind of money, he's doing pretty good. But the powers that be decided that the life and ideals of George C. Wallace presented impediments to their agenda that had to be eliminated. They saw that their demonization of Wallace as a racist and a bigot had not gained the necessary traction, so other means to accomplish their goals had to be implemented. No country can long endure whose government politically and legislatively promotes the destruction of the heritage, both cultural and racial, of its founding generation. That is just absolute truth. And our founding generation people, our founders were anti-federalist. Our founders were not the Federalist. You can call the Federalist framers if you wanted to. Yes, they put together a constitution that they were able to push through in a massive fraud. Cal, your thoughts, buddy?
Well, you say, you know, Wallace didn't want the government to assert its power within the states. Did he happen to miss the happenings that happened back in the early 1861s or 1865?
Well,
I understand his sentiments, but the federal government's been pretty insistent that it has the supremacy. Obviously, Wallace never read that letter between Madison and Washington, where Madison said the states, we can't tolerate the sovereignty of the states, but we're going to keep them around to be subordinately useful. He apparently, Wallace didn't understand his place as a governor, that he was supposed to be subordinately useful.
Well, I think he was in many ways disillusioned like so many other people, or he wouldn't have been running for office.
Yes.
And he also knew what had happened just a few years before under Dwight Eisenhower, when Eisenhower sent federal troops into Little Rock, Arkansas, to do exactly the same thing. And that is totally prohibited by Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. But who cares about the Constitution? They have a provision called, you know, the get out of jail free card. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. I'm sorry. But
necessary and proper clause, yeah.
Yes.
And the whatever we need to do clause. The
yeah.
Whatever we need to do clause.
And whatever we want.
Yep. Whatever we want to do clause.
Takes me back to a mention of Samuel Adams there, you know, and let me see if I can remember this quote. Freedom of thought and the right of private judgment in matters of conscience, driven from every other corner of the earth, direct their course to this happy country as their last asylum. Now, that happy country that Samuel Adams talked about is certainly not the country we were in today. He was talking about the country that was there before the Constitution.
Exactly.
Now, that was the, I believe, for people like Wallace, who, I, you know, there's no proof anywhere that he was a student of history. But the happy country that was mentioned by Adams was not at all unlike the country that Wallace wanted to return to in his 1963 inaugural address.
No, that's why I said I give him full credit for that. That's a yearning of most people, but the problem is the Constitution says otherwise. The federal government it created insists otherwise. So if you want this utopia of, you know, states' rights, you're going to have to get rid of the Constitution to get it. That's just the truth of it.
Well, but today, Cal, here's the thing. I've had people talk to me about this and say, well, what if the southern states seceded again? I don't know. Show me a southern state government that's not crooked as hell.
Mike, I wish they would. I wish the state would secede again. I mean, they don't have this, you know, the peculiar institution that they can have beat over their head about it now. You know, it's like, let's do it again. It's just that so many people of the southern state have been so reconstructed. They don't view, the people in Alabama don't view Alabama as their country anymore. They view that as their state, and their state is part of the United States. They view themselves as part of the United States. And that's, like I say, this is just how people picture things. It's perception management. And the powers that be have been very, very good at it.
Exceptional. But Tell me,
these conquered people from the South are the first ones to sign up and go fight in foreign wars for the same government that came in and conquered them.
Which makes no sense.
It just blows my mind that they do that. I mean, that's me. I hold a grudge longer, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I was born in a Yankee state, but I don't know. I have more Southern sympathies. I can't support this government after I learned the truth of what it did to the South. I can't even fly the flag or anything anymore. It's just terrible. If I can see it, how come other people can? Especially people from the South who take pride in their Southern heritage. It just blows me away, Mike. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pick on the Southern people.
No, just, keep going. Keep going.
I've been called a copperhead. I guess is that a good thing?
In some respects, it is.
Okay. I'll take it in those respects then. But I do not understand. I mean, if you understand the heritage, if you understand what this government's done, and if you look around today at what this government is doing, how can you support it? You look evil in the face and you go out and vote for more of it. I don't get it, Mike. And then you bring forward all this evidence of that it was designed this way. For those that will listen and look and see and follow the truth, you can see this is doing exactly what it was designed to do.
Yes.
And it just,
I mean, you know, it really gets to me still that we have people who believe, you know, oh, well, you know, we have these rights, you know, we have these rights that we can use to curb this government. You don't have anything. And, you know, and I was just thinking, people have been talking, you know, I don't really get into these discussions very deeply, but people are talking about these fires in Maui. They're talking about all of the stuff. You see it, these people on social media and other places talking about how crazy the government, you know, the stuff that they're doing and everything else. Do they not understand that the Constitution allows them to do this? And just recently, you know, there was an anniversary, the anniversary of Ruby Ridge. I think it was yesterday or maybe today. I'm not sure, but I know we're in the anniversary period where we had an FBI sniper shoot a woman in the face, an unarmed woman in the face, holding a 20-something month old baby. And yet, he couldn't be prosecuted because he worked for the government. And then just a few days before, a U.S. Marshal had shot Samuel Weaver, her son, her 14-year-old son, had shot him in the back. And people, if you want to tell me that the Constitution works, show me where one of these criminals has ever been tried for their crimes. Where is Lon Horiuchi, the sniper? And he went, you know, and after he did his dirty work at Ruby Ridge, he was at sniper station number 5 at Waco, shooting the people who ran out of the back of the building during the fire. It's you know, if you think this government is good, why can they do these things? And lately, you know, I don't keep up with the news, but I've heard, you know, that the FBI is out there killing people, you know, at will. But they have, you know, what do they call that, Cal? The executive, you know, not executive, but they have implied immunity.
Implied immunity, yes.
And they have immunity, which means they can do anything they want to you if they have to come to arrest you or what have you, and they know that they're going to be able to do that with no repercussions. I really don't understand how people can continue to support this government in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Cal, help me out here.
I'm right there with you, Mike. You know, those are the enforcers of the tyranny. Then you have those who... The same people who complain that the government's doing this are 90% of the time the same people who go out and vote for government every 2 years. Is there a disconnect there? They don't like what the government's doing, but they vote for government. I can't make that mental gymnastics thing to make it justifiable to support this government in any way, shape, or form when you actually sit back and look at how evil it is and what it does to everybody.
Well, somehow, Cal, I'm not exactly sure how, but somehow people think they can actually change this government with an election, something that has never, ever happened in our history. And I made this point the other day. People want to talk about your Constitution. The Constitution, Abraham Lincoln proved that the Constitution facilitates tyranny. It doesn't stop it. It facilitates tyranny. And people will say, oh, well,
that's because it was designed to, Mike.
I know. And it's just doing what it was designed to do, and people still have this attachment, you know, and I talked about it in the beginning. They have this emotional attachment to government, like it's just like George Wallace said, it's their God. Yeah. And I'm going to use that phrase from my grandfather again, and pardon please one word in it, but right before he passed away, just a few months before he passed away, I was talking to him about how corrupt the government was and was there anything we could do, and then I was back then, way back 40 years ago, I was having problems getting people to believe, you know, anything that was bad about this government. And I remember asking my grandfather, who was almost 100 years old, and I said, why won't the people listen? When you show them the rock hard proof, why won't they listen? And his comment rings in my head every time I encounter one of these people. And he said, boy, ain't nobody wants to believe their mama's a whore. So,
no, it's true, Mike.
Is that it, Cal? Is that it? They just don't want to believe it?
Well, Mike, how many millions, if not billions of dollars, do they pour into perception management, a.k.a. propaganda, yearly?
Oh, my goodness.
And have been doing so since the very beginning.
Well, you know, do you know where the black ops money comes from the CIA?
Running drugs.
Yes.
And guns.
Yes. Well, yes, yeah. Both, but primarily drugs. And yeah, they use that for their black ops. And they're criminal right off of the bat.
Well, think about it, Mike. If they're going to run drugs, so if they criminalize drugs, that makes the value of drugs go up.
Oh, yes.
And they're the government, so if they get caught, you know, they've got their stooges they can throw away. But that just makes it even more profitable for them. And they're, you know, part of the same government that makes it illegal. They're the same government that's running the drugs, making a profit on it. Wait, is this like Robert Morris, who is the chief financier of the Congress, and he's also the major vendor for the war, so that he gets paid both ways?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or Hamilton, before he did the assumption bill, where they went in and bought up all the stuff, all the notes at cents on the dollar and redeemed them at par. It's been one long scam.
Fraud.
One long fraud. And you spoke of success. Well, the fact that it's continuing, not just continuing, it's expanding and growing, and the people who are still supporting just shows how successful the fraud is.
Ah, there's the music. We'll be back on the flip side, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the National Intelligence Report. And that good thumping music there, gosh, I love that. That's hard to interrupt, Cal. One of the other things, kind of jumping back to our original discussion here, was when I found out that the majority of George Washington's first administration, the majority of them, I'm not talking about the elected officials, but I may have said this earlier, I'm not sure, but I just wanted to cover it. But the majority of the Washington's administration were related by marriage, one way or the other.
Well, that's
your thoughts?
That's kind of the way the European monarchy went, isn't it?
Yes.
The inner court was always the inner court of pretty much every royalty. They were all related to each other in one way or another through bloodlines and marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a continuation of it. It shouldn't come as a surprise, but it's just the truth. But I don't know. And it's just the way old world money works, Mike. And they keep it for themselves, and they use everybody else to profit upon. One giant commercial interest, and we're just slaves, serfs.
Well, I've said that, and I will stand by it, that the United States government is one of the largest criminal enterprises that has ever been known throughout history. And, you know, one day, Cal, when we're all gone and, you know, if the planet survives, somewhere down the road, someone's going to say, well, you know, that was one crazy bunch of people who believed all this. And it gets to the point, one of the things I was thinking about, and I was reading on this, you know, over the past few years, we have had more people in this country die from legal drug overdoses than we've had die from illegal drug overdoses. And I was doing some research on that, and there are places, now not all of them, but there are some places that will say that in today's world out here, the American public, at least 40% of them are taking drugs that could be considered mind altering. You think that's a mistake?
No, that's probably very true. I mean, if you look at the reality of, you know, what you're told, and then you juxtapose it against the reality you see and witness for yourself every day, there's a huge conflict going on. And I suppose a lot of people can't handle that, and they have to have something to alter their mind or relieve the tension or do something to make life bearable for them, because, you know, the reality you see on the news and the reality you face in life are totally different. At least it's been my experience.
It's, you know, I sit and shake my head so many times when you look at unequivocal evidence. There are still people who will say, you know, well, 9/11 wasn't an inside job. That wasn't caused by our government. Our government wasn't involved in that. And, you know, everything, it was hit by planes and they fell. But no one has an answer for World Trade Center Building Number 7. And then the thing of it was, is the fact that the BBC reported, and people can see this, Cal. The BBC, yeah. The BBC reported that World Trade Center Building Number 7 fell about 11 minutes before it actually fell.
Yeah, they reported it fell with the reporter standing there in World Trade Center 7 standing there in the background, still yes. Standing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being reported that it fell. It's just, there's so much evidence, so much inconsistencies. But that's what you have when you have a fraud and lies. You have to start covering your lies up with other lies. And pretty soon things are so mutated that nobody knows what the truth is anymore. And that's pretty much where everyone's at right now. I mean, you hear these news stories and it's like, how do you even know they're true? You know, as you've brought up, how do you know this money they say they gave to Ukraine went to Ukraine? Why would they give money to Ukraine when they can give it to themselves?
Right.
Or did it go to Ukraine and then get filtered back to the pockets of the 435 Congress critters in Washington? It's just a big money laundering scam.
Well, let's look at two things that the American public just refuses to accept. And that was one of the things that I remember from my boss at NSA when I was complaining about stuff. And he said, look, Gaddy, we can tell these people what we're going to do, and they don't believe it. And, you know, and I think about that when that pops back into my head, I remember what William Casey said in 1982, we will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. There's our music. Be back on the other side, folks.
We want the freedom that God gave us. So you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this fair land of freedom, I do not care a damn.
Welcome back, everyone. I think we're live here. I'm still not getting the full music, but that's okay. It's probably on my end. But welcome back to the National Intelligence Report. And before I move forward, I gave you that quote by CIA Director William Casey. Let me give you another one by CIA Director William Colby, who before Congress said the following: we own everyone of any major importance in the American media. Folks, they can slap you right through the face with the truth, and no one pays any attention, because if they come up with some kind of story about sending money to the Ukraine or doing sending money here, there, somewhere else, people just automatically believe it. What's your comments on that, Cal?
Well, they not only believe it, and then, you know, a month, year, a couple of years later, they find out it was a lie, and now they don't believe it. But the next story that comes up on the news, they believe it again. How many times do you got to beat your head against a wall before you realize that that pain in your head is from you beating your head against a wall? And just, well, stop. Just stop.
Well, that's incredible, Cal. Let's take a couple of callers here. James in Vancouver. Right. James, how are you?
Yes, good evening. I was wondering if you boys got her figured out there yet. George Wallace, if he would have kept on running. He'd have taken the whole South, and he'd have been able to do what couldn't be done in the so-called Civil War. So he was a real threat to the powers that be in Washington, and the bankers and what have you. You know, the United States never demilitarized or disarmed after World War II because probably, well, there was just so much money in it. I mean, when you look at the specifications, I'm just looking at here, the engine for the DC-3, for example, also known as the C-47, was licensed to the Soviet Union as the Shvetsov M-25. So you mentioned earlier in your show about this private club, you see, the weapons people all around the world, doesn't matter what flag they have, they all trade with one another. Back to you.
Well, that's the international banking cabal that finances this stuff, James. Well, yeah.
And
of course,
dealers too.
Yeah, and think about how wonderful it would be. James, what if you and Cal and I could form ourselves a bank and we could get a war going between two countries and finance both sides?
Well, if you're looking for 155 millimeter, I know where I can get them. they say that there's a shortage of 155. 30 years ago, I was sourcing 155. For prospective buyers, both the guns and the ammo. So just let me know, you know. Back to you.
All right, James. Cal, any comments there to James?
Yeah, send me your contact information. I could use a 150. I could use a 155 Mike, yeah.
Talk to Mike. That would Mike be, at the operation, at the op board, and I'll kick in some good money for RBN. How's that?
Hey, buddy, we
I'll
appreciate
let you guys
that,
go.
James. Thank you, James.
Let
Thank
you. Guys
you.
Go. Bye now.
And now I think we'll jump to Laura in Michigan. Is that Michigan, Laura? Am I correct?
Hello, yes. Yes, hello, Mr. Gaddy.
How are you?
I want to throw a little trivia in. I mean, you're so
okay.
good at all these facts. I got a couple of little trivia facts for you. George Washington was the first president to import beagles to this country. I've got a painting at home. It shows him with the beagles.
Hmm. And why did he do that, Laura?
Because out in England, there we did the fox and hounds, and he wanted to do it here.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other trivia I had was for Patrick Henry. Did you know Patrick Henry had 17 children? Two
yes.
wives. 17
yes.
children.
Yes, he should have been the father of the country.
Him? Huh?
He should have been the father of our country.
Yeah, no kidding. They said you could see him riding through town on his horseback, followed by children and dogs.
Well, did you know, Laura, that one of those children was born just months before Patrick Henry passed away?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, just a few months before he died in 1799. Just, yes. And he and Washington, you know, had been getting together, working on a plan. Patrick Henry had agreed to help Washington against Jefferson and Madison because there had been a lifelong battle, almost a lifelong battle between Jefferson, Madison, and Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry did everything he could to keep Madison out of the Senate from Virginia, was able to do that, and he gerrymandered a district to try to keep him out of the Congress. Unfortunately, that didn't work.
I like those little interesting facts like that, you know?
Oh, well, thank you, Laura. Cal, you have any comments, sir?
Well, I just wondered, Laura, were you aware that George Washington could also be considered of the mule population in the United States?
No, I didn't know that part. No.
Yeah, it was he was Jay Gardoki, who was a ambassador for Spain, presented George Washington with donkeys to breed with his horse herd as a present from the King of Spain. And that's where the mule herds in the United States began. It was from George Washington. So he had his fingers in making money on that, too.
More trivia.
Yeah. More trivia.
Great stuff, yes.
Okay, Laura, thank you.
Thank you, Laura, for calling in. We greatly appreciate it. And I hope your day is well, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. So now we're going to jump to Gregory in California. Gregory, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, although I lost a lot of the sound. You're barely coming over. Are you doing well today? Is it Mike or Michael?
You pick. I don't care.
Well, if that was your given name, Michael, I'd prefer to call you Michael because that was your given name, just like I used to like to be called Greg, but Gregory is the name I was given, and
right.
So I go by that. Anyway,
right.
Wonderful show again. Your knowledge of history is, where were you when I was getting a history teacher? Good Lord of gravy, man. I mean, I loved history, but it was so phony baloney, especially after I got through with Dudley Butts. His name was Dudley Butts, and he was my sixth and seventh and eighth grade history teacher. And this guy really got me involved in history, and it was just Greek mythology and all this and that stuff, but nothing like... I mean, you're just not... Where do you get this, Poopy? I mean, it resonates.
Well, thank you for that, Gregory, but it's been a passion of mine. Started in the 80s when working in the oxymoronic field of government intelligence, I was given access to quite a few documents in the Library of Congress and documents in the National Archives, some that were kind of restricted and what have you. They weren't classified. It wasn't really bad. They just restricted the availability, and of course we know where that came from. But anyway, I got into it, and it was like a passion. Gregory, it grabbed me. I couldn't let go of the history part. And Cal will tell you today, and he knows me fairly well. I'm digging every day for new stuff. It's kind of like I guess you could call it. I'm an alcoholic. But I am a history-aholic.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'd like to jump in that bottle with you, man. That sounds just like super-duper fun, because the truth is what I yearn for. It's something I just can't get enough of. And, looking at both sides of any conflict, objectively, instead of with reservations and with fear. And see, you don't have any fear. I don't sense no fear in your appetite. And most people, I believe, they do a lot of what they do because of the fear factor. It keeps them in their little box. Get outside the box. Oh my goodness, I'm not comfortable anymore. And something might happen to me. Oh, holy moly. But
well said, Gregory. Well said, buddy. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful weekend and appreciate your call.
Oh, I hope you do too. But remember this.
Yes, sir.
People that are in fear are not live. People that are live are not in fear. And I shall concede and yes. Much love, man.
All right. Thank you so very, very much. And have a good one. And now we're going to go to Quince in Florida. Quince, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. I'm really enjoying your show, and I have learned an incredible amount. You've dropped so many threads, and I'm just pulling those threads and getting a better and better picture of the world that I live in. I really appreciate you and everything you bring to RBN.
Well, Quince, you flatter me, sir, but again, It's a passion, and I like it. I'm not sure if you're aware, Quince. You know, I've got the two programs on RBN. I love being here. I love the platform. I love the folks at RBN. But I also have a Substack where I put out a lot of stuff that you can read at your leisure. You know, you might not have time to listen to me, but if you go to that, it's michaelgaddy.substack.com, and, you know, become a subscriber, and I put stuff out almost every day.
I'll do that. Could you recommend a good book on George Wallace?
Oh, my goodness. Can I get back? Can I leave it with the producer? I can't remember it right off the top of my head, but I'll make sure you get it.
Or announce it on your show, because I listen to all your shows.
Okay, well, listen tomorrow, and I'll on the Rebel Madman, and I'll have it for you.
Thank you, sir. Great.
Well,
thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Quince. Any comments, Cal?
Well, I got a question for you, Mike. How many of those boxes, the recent ones, at 12, I believe it was, have
yes,
you
sir.
Gone through? How many have you gone through so far?
I'm on number four.
You're on number four. And I just want to point out to everybody, you know, I mean, Mike's real great at this. He's kind of lucky, too, because every day is Christmas for him. Every day he gets to unwrap more and more presents. Because, like I say, when I started the show, this is national treasure. I mean, this is knowledge. This is worth more than money and any gold and silver and everything. This is actual truthful knowledge. And that's why I, you know, look at it like that show, National Treasure, because these are the creation. This is what created what we're living in today. And Mike has the front row seat right there with his fingers in the pot of gold, getting to go through it every day. And I'm really kind of jealous of it, and I'm glad I'm a member of his Substack, and he shares that with us all, and he has his shows to share it. And I want to thank Mike for that.
Well, thank you, Cal. That was most gracious of you to say all of those neat things. And you know, the point of it is, one of the things that really got to me kind of in a way there about these new documents is the fact that when I procured them, you know, part of them, seven boxes from Philadelphia and five boxes from Albany, New York. And the lady, the curator of the archives in New York and Albany told me, she said, well, you know, I'll get these off to you. Of course, you know, we paid for each, for copying each document and all of that stuff. And she says, you know, when I was putting these documents together for you, she said, I looked at the boxes, and she said, you know, or the files where they came from. And she said, some of these files, some of these documents hadn't been looked at in over 50 years. And I said, what? I said, why hasn't anyone looked at them? She said, because nobody wants to. So, well, I guess that kind of tells us. But we've got another caller here, Cal, and let's make sure we take care of these fine folks. Neil in Boston. Neil, how are you, sir?
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Hear you fine.
Oh, thank good. Because I'm on a cell phone, and I know I'm in like a bad area. So, okay. I'm just going to...
Doing great.
To the point. I'm in Boston, and I'm just going to go backwards from the notes I wrote down while listening to the show. And first and foremost, growing up, I'm from Boston. I'm 50 years old, and I went through a lot of things. Being a white, I mean, I'm Irish, and my you know, dad's Irish, whatever. Long story short, when you know, walk down the street, and I've bartended in the city, I waited tables in the city, I worked in the restaurant business pretty much all my life, and if there are a group of anybody, no color involved, you know, they could be polka dots, they could be, you know, beige, black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, if they're coming towards you, chances are something's going to happen. So you cross the street, right? So that brings up the it's called the fight or flight mechanism that every human being has in their DNA. We all have it. When you're doing a push-up or you're doing a curl, like a 10-pound barbell, it kicks in. I think that this country is in right now the middle of fight or flight, where they are literally, you know, I'm no Trump fan, but they mugshotted him. It's insanity. Like we're literally like in like 1933 Weimar Republic Germany, as far as I can see it. So we all have to just fight back every level. Where if you're at a grocery store and somebody makes a comment, make a comment back at them, even if they're not talking to you, saying like, oh, the masks are good or whatever. Just say something else, and say something derogatory. You don't have to swear, but say something that like pisses them off, basically. And we all have to. We all have to do it. You know, we're a small minority. I can't remember who made the. I know we're running out of time here, but brush fires. This is a brush fire. They did a brush fire in Maui and murdered thousands of Hawaiians 2 weeks ago. We have to stand up for them. And for those children and those families, because they want to rape Hawaii of the land. And they want to rape us with every vaccine. And that's it. And I
appreciate your input there, Neil, and I certainly understand it. I certainly understand the frustration. But I'm going to, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, a lot of people who have been concerned about what happened in Maui have been concerned about the other things that are going on. You know, the one thing that they will do is they will forget it all, because college football starts tomorrow, buddy.
Oh yeah. Oh, and Patriots are up here in Boston. Oh, yeah, Jones and whoever else. And it's like, hey, guess what? None of that matters.
That's for sure.
I got to shoot some pool in a tournament. None of that matters. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
As long as they're entertained. And, Neil, I hate to rush up here, but we're running out of time, and I need to get in one more caller, buddy. But thank you for calling. We really appreciate it. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen, Neil.
Go for it. All right. Love you.
All right. You too, buddy. You take care. Now we got Richard in Tennessee. We went from Boston to Tennessee. Richard, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How are you doing?
Well, if I was any better, I'd be illegal up north.
I got you. I got a book recommendation for you, for the gentleman that inquired about George Wallace. It's a book by Dan Carter, and it's called George Wallace and the Politics of Rage. And it was written in 94. And even though this guy, I don't think, particularly cared for Wallace or his politics, it is an amazing chronicle of Wallace's appearance on the national scene and his runs for the presidency. This guy kind of even, he gives him a grudging admiration. And I recommend that book highly. It's a very good book. I read it. It's been a long time since I've read it, but I need to dig it out and reread it. And one thing I'd like to point out about Wallace is, you know, in the late 60s, there was a time of turmoil on all the campaign financing and, you know, reforms and all this crap. And Wallace and his crew were a little bit footloose and fancy free with all the financial filings. So Nixon's FBI basically had the goods on Wallace and forced him to run as a Democrat in 1972, which did a couple of things, which destroyed the Democratic Party and paved the way for Nixon. And, of course, when Wallace got was on the verge of winning the Michigan primary, where my wife is from, by the way, and her father was an ardent supporter of George Wallace. So when Wallace got to become too inconvenient, they didn't kill him, but they did the next best thing, which was to grievously wound him, and he never was the same after.
No, but I think they intended to kill him. You know, I think it was just one of those things about circumstances. But I certainly agree with you, Richard, many times over, and that is an excellent book. And I hope, you know, that Quince was listening, because I think, or the other, gosh, I'm getting old. I can't remember who asked for the book now. But anyway, that is a very good recommendation. I highly recommend that book. And I agree with you totally, Richard. I don't think that the author cared for Wallace, but I give him credit for putting a lot of truth out there.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's all.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Cal, any comments, sir?
No, no. I'm going to have to get that book for myself and read it.
Oh, you'll like it. You'll like it a lot. You know, that kind of reminds me of back in my younger days, and my wife used to joke with people and tell them that every payday when we got our paycheck, we'd go to the bookstore. If there was any money left over, we'd buy food. So we have quite a library, I promise you, and thank goodness it's in storage right now, in climate control storage. So, but Cal, I can't thank you enough, buddy, for coming on with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, pleasure's all mine, Mike. It's always an honor, humbling experience to be on the radio with you.
Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and to our buddy DW, I hope he's listening on his way home. Hope everything gets worked out for him. But again, folks, thank you so very, very much for tuning in to RBN. Take care of RBN, because we need RBN in our lives if we're going to have free speech. So thank you very much for that. And, you know, tomorrow, drop by tomorrow afternoon for the Rebel Madman, because I'm taking a big, deep dive into what happened in Missouri. And then the next Saturday, I've got a tour guide from New York City, and we're going to talk about Lincoln's invasion of New York City, not once, not twice, but three times, and then how he took over the government totally and entirely. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So anything you would like to touch on, Cal, before we hear the music?
I would just like to remind everybody to go to your Substack.
Well, thank you,
DaddySubstack.com. You want to find the truth. If you're willing to face the truth, people, if you have the courage to face the truth, go to MichaelGaddySubstack.com, and you will not be disappointed.
Well, thank you for that, Cal. And be sure and give Joni a hug for me, would you please?
Will do. She's the one for us, too, then.
All right, buddy. There's the music. Everyone have a great weekend. God bless.
Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.